From no opinion, tyrants are losing wars, and the only way to fight the bastards off in the end is through intelligence. Enoch root in human life, it's also true slash the strong will try to conquer you slash, and that is what you must expect slash unless you use your intellect. Merlin, 5 years ago, I wrote a post about the wave of authoritarianism sweeping the world. That unhappy trend has continued. Freedom House's 2026 report is subtitled The Growing Shadow of Autocracy and finds that freedom continues to decline across the globe. VDEM's 2026 report, subtitled Unraveling the Democratic Era, delivers the same message. Both organizations note the rapid deterioration in freedom under Donald D. Trump's second administration, including attacks on free and fair elections, persecution of critics in the press, and the rise of a violent and unaccountable security state. In the 20th century, the U.S. was the arsenal of democracy as the world's most powerful country and one of its most free. It often used its industrial might to support liberal democracy around the world. In the 21st century, America is increasingly incapable and unwilling to play this role. Instead, the industrial powerhouse of this century is China. In addition to its own rapidly growing military power and technological supremacy, it supports various autocratic satellite powers to keep potential rivals off balance: Russia, Iran, North Korea, and so on. This geopolitical grouping has been given various names. I called it the New Axis, and others have called it things like the Axis of Autocracy. But Trump has shown that Cold War II will not be a clean contest of liberal democracy versus totalitarianism. Instead, it'll be a hodgepodge of amoral competing power blocks, more reminiscent of the time before World War I. The hope that regular folks would rise up and overthrow the one-party states, petty tyrants, and populist strawmen is fading. The Hong Kong protests of 2019, the Belarus protests of 2020, and various waves of Iran protests all failed to make headway against autocratic regimes, while America's pro-SDS in 2020 did little to halt the country's slide into strawman rule. Liberal democracy hasn't been defeated, but it's definitely the underdog again. That's all very sad and disturbing. But we're starting to see another trend quietly emerge. Tyrants are losing wars. The first example of this was the Syrian civil war. After brutally crushing various rebel factions for over a decade with the help of Russia, Iran, and Hezbollah, the Assad regime suddenly collapsed in late 2024. Despite a lot of hand-wringing over whether Syria's HDS militants would bring jihadist rule to Syria, the country's new leaders seem reasonable, pragmatic, and a lot more tolerant than any of the alternatives. The second example was the collapse of Iran's shadow empire of proxies in the Middle East. In addition to Assad, they lost Hezbollah, whose catastrophic defeat by Israel in 2024 belied its fearsome reputation, and mostly lost Hamas. The Israelis are not exactly liberal Democrats at this point, but they are certainly less illiberal than Iran and its proxies. But the most important loss for the Axis of Autocracy, or whatever you want to call it, is shaping up in Ukraine. It's still early days, but there are clear signs that the tide has turned against Russia. Ukraine's drone industry has really hit its stride, producing several million drones a year and innovating all kinds of new and deadly weapons. This has enabled the Ukrainians to fight a successful defensive war while taking fewer and fewer casualties. Some sources estimate that Ukraine is now killing 5 Russians for every Ukrainian lost. Even if that's an overestimate, the ratio certainly seems to have tilted significantly in Ukraine's favor. The Russians are taking horrendous losses, over 30,000 each month in recent months, probably more than the Russians can currently recruit. Russia's total estimated losses in the war were over 350,000 killed and 1.4 million at the end of last year. By now, the numbers are significantly higher. Russia's territorial gains, meanwhile, have slowed or even reversed, despite all the bodies Putin is throwing into the meat grinder. Here's The Economist. Not only has Russia's expected spring offensive been a flop, but in April, Russian forces suffered a net loss of territory for the first time since August 2024. By our calculations, Russia has lost control of 113 square kilometers over the past 30 days. Russia's air defenses can't even protect the capital. Putin was so afraid of Ukrainian drones that he had to scale down his recent annual Victory Day parade, removing military vehicles from the procession, appearing only briefly in public, and asking Donald Trump to persuade the Ukrainians to declare a temporary ceasefire to allow the parade to happen. Ukraine's long-range drones are so powerful that they could soon even be able to cut off Crimea from Russian resupply. Meanwhile, Ukraine's long-range drones are inflicting more and more pain on Russia. Ukraine is destroying Russian oil infrastructure and closing Moscow's airports. None of this means that Russia or its military is about to collapse. This is probably why Putin has recently declared that the war is coming to an end. Russian President Vladimir Putin said on Saturday that he thought the Ukraine war was coming to an end. "I think that the matter is coming to an end," Putin told reporters of the Russia-Ukraine war, Europe's deadly ESD conflict since World War II. But even if Putin declares a full mobilization and throws millions more Russians into the Ukrainian drones, it's not clear what that'll win him except further depopulation of his country. He also said he would be willing to negotiate new security arrangements for Europe, and that his preferred negotiating partner would be Germany's former Chancellor Gerhard Schröder. This is still wildly overoptimistic on Putin's part. He seems to think he can just end the war on favorable terms anytime he wants, choose Russian patsies as negotiating partners, and dictate the future of European security. Most of that is highly unlikely to happen. Barring an unforeseen Ukrainian collapse, the Ukrainians will simply keep hammering away at Russia's troops and infrastructure with their drones. But Putin's sudden willingness to talk is very significant. It means he knows he's starting to lose the war and wants to beat some kind of face-saving retreat. Ukraine is the clearest and most important example of how 21st-century autocrats, having triumphed in the streets and on social media, are losing on the actual battlefield. Trump's losing war in Iran is part of the trend too. Although the Trump regime isn't technically part of the Chinese-led axis, he's definitely cut from the same cloth as the other populist, liberal strawmen who have proliferated around the globe in recent decades. What's going on? Why are tyrants suddenly getting their butts kicked? I see several reasons. First, the defender usually has the advantage. The strategic advantages are well known. Almost by definition, the attacker's forces are far from home and have to be resupplied, which incurs cost and risk. Conquering and subduing a whole country is also just an inherently more complex and difficult task than halting an invading army's advance. But I'm talking about something deeper, the moral advantage that you get from defending your homes and families against an invader. The whole Russian cause in this war is based on the notion that Ukraine's potential accession to NATO and the EU was threatening Russia's sphere of influence. But the idea of spheres of influence, while sometimes a good factual description of how powerful countries operate, is not a good moral principle. Ukraine never threatened Russia at all. The idea that countries deserve spheres of influence is just the claim that powerful countries ought to dominate their weaker neighbors. In other words, it's just imperialism.